join us. Pedro Paez currently serves as the chair of the Ecuadorian Presidential Commission on a New Regional Financial Architecture. Let the translators do that. Okay. He's also an internationally esteemed economist who served on the United Nations Commission that examined the reforms needed after the financial crisis. It was chaired by Nobel Prize winner Joseph Stiglitz. And he also is the former economic policy minister for Ecuador. So thank you very much for joining us, Pedro. And
thank you very much for the invitation. I don't know how much can I contribute to, on top of what the president's interventions had presented about the situation. What I would try to do is to stress some clues for the interpretation, the reading of the conjuncture. We have to understand this in the context of a structural crisis, in the context of a structural crisis of profitability for capital. We are in the middle of an overproduction crisis. This is not a crisis, this is not a financial crisis. This is a structural crisis produced by the overproduction of goods and services, but also an overproduction of capital. There is no enough opportunities of profitable investment. And that's part of the clock that we have now in the financial markets. Actually, the financial exuberance, the financial hypertrophy, the financial innovations were part of the solution, the profitability solution that capitals were looking decades ago. The globalization is part of the solution that capitals were looking decades ago. Unfortunately for them, the temporary solutions became part of the problem after a while. So what opened at that time some doors for a very ductile, agile, and flexible investment in the overnight, opposite to the sunk cost of the fixed capital into the virtual world of finance, became a huge hypertrophy that asphyxiates now the deployment of enlarged accumulation. That means now, for example, just to illustrate the situation, the amount of derivatives in the world is estimated in $1.5 quadrillion in comparison to the total GDP of the world that is just $63 trillion. That is a proportion between 1500 and 63. That's more or less the proportion between the amount of debts that are circulating in the financial world and the real wealth in the world. So there is no way to pay such amount of debts even if we stop eating for 20 years. We are talking about a structural insolvability of the financial system. Unfortunately, in these conditions, in the conditions of the modern economy, all the initiatives of the people, all the productive projects of the people, all the creativity of the people cannot be deployed if not goes through the filters of the financial capital criteria. In terms of short-termism and in terms of very high interest rates, very high profit rates. So if you think this correctly, this is not the system of the private initiative. This is the system that deprives us of the initiative. We are talking about billions of people that are willing to work, that are blocked, that are impeded, that are precluded of any possibility of productive working. Billions of people that are starving at the same time that we are wasting food. Gandhi says, the earth is enough to satisfy, to fulfill the needs of all the people. But it would never be enough to satisfy the greed of a very tiny handful of greedy people. And that's the basis of the crisis. On top of this, the other solution, globalization, delocalization of the industrial power. At the beginning was a very profitable business for a handful of transnationals. But after a while, they created what we could call the emerging economies or the semi-peripheries that produced in with a very low wage standard and social standards and tax standards and environmental standards, the same type of production that before used to be produced in the core of the system. After a while, you have to produce in the core some parts and in several and sequential geographies that have disputed the industrial power in the world. So we have from the United States to Europe, from Europe to Japan, from Japan to Taiwan, from Taiwan to the Southeast Asia economies, and from them to China and India and maybe Brazil, South Africa, etc., etc., etc. The problem of overproduction is worsening as we are talking. And this is an overproduction of goods and an overproduction of capitals. This is not a crisis of scarcity, as the textbooks used to teach us, as usually we have in our minds, even if we have never speak about economics ever in our lives. That's the environmental ideology that we have in our heads. The problem is precisely that the only way out in terms of profitability, because capitals are condemned to grow and grow and grow time and again, the problem is that they are condemned, they are doomed to invest and reinvest and reinvest and reinvest. Profitability for the sake of profitability, accumulation for the sake of accumulation, without any regard to the real economy, without any regard to the creation of wealth, without any regard to life. Because from the beginning, at the end of the day, and at the end of the day, production is to create means of life, livelihood. And that is breaking now, because this kind of schizophrenic situation in which all the decisions about production and consumption had to pass the filter of the transnational financial capital. It's in that context of crisis, that these kind of absurdities are happening as we are talking. And we are in a dear danger, because we have a dichotomy between the sweet and pink rhetorics about cooperation and to put everybody's shoulder in order to get out of this crisis, and the real situation in which there is a colossal, a massive expropriation of the capacity of reaction. Crises are not natural accidents. Crises are instrumental mechanisms to change the balance of power within countries and between countries. That's part of a social war against the peoples in the earth. And instrumental to create crises are not the ethereal and natural, technical and neutral laws of the market. It's not the anonymous financial market. Those are oligarchic forces that have the complicity of some functionaries in the government, that have the complicity of some multilateral organizations like the IMF, like the World Bank, like the WTO, like a lot of institutions that enjoy the sanctity of the technical stance and the sanctity of the diplomatic efforts at the world level. That's why it's so important what you are doing here. This type of discussion, this type of of organizative efforts that you are deploying now are crucial because you have the power to change things. What you are doing could make the difference. They are in a dead end. They are in a very big trouble. That's why they cannot deliver what they promised time and again. The leaders of the world, the G20, the G8, even the United Nations, repeat time and again that it's indispensable to recover financial regulation. You heard that all that they are negotiating now, all that they had signed already, is precluding any possibility of a real regulation of the financial markets. They are talking time and again about the need of recovering transparency in the financial markets, to recover integrity and ethics in the financial markets. And they have a whole chapter among the under the title New Disciplines in the WTO agreement about accounting, in which they deregulate any norms about accountancy. If with the current, with the actual situation of the accounting norms at the international level, they had such a pervasive situation of creative accounting in which the banks can rob a lot of money without any possibility for the supervisory authority nor for the clients to know what is going on with their money. Could you imagine what could happen if they declare officially that no rules impair in the world? On top of that, you have the loopholes, the permanent loopholes of the tax havens. On top of that, you have the permanent loophole of the transnational day-to-day activity of the banks, of the financial agents. At the end of the day, what we are talking about is power, in the double sense of the word. Power in the sense of power of domination, but also in the sense of the capacity of reacting. All these measures are robbing us, as you mentioned, are robbing us any capacity of reaction, any policy space, any degree of maneuver. They are reducing individuals, collectivities, nations, entire communities of nations, like in the case of the European Community, to indefension, to incapacity, to impotence. They are grabbing power at the international level, even beyond the corresponding process of concentration and centralization of capital. This is in the economic dimension, in the political dimension, in the ideological dimension through the control of the media, but also in the normative, in the legislative dimension. They are creating a situation that beyond the surface is worsening as we are talking. To fight against the exacerbation of this tremendous and pervasive process of expropriation of the will of the people is the duty of any citizen in the world. We have to build up new capacities out of the solidarity and the connection between the fights and the struggles of the peoples. We have very important possibilities of making the difference. The planetary imposition of a financial transaction tax. The immediate and planetary banning of short selling of CDS, the naked CDS transactions with respect to food. The limits in the long positions of the speculative hedge funds and the private equity funds at the global level could be obtained right now in a very short time if we can deploy actions and mobilizations at the planetary level. the basic problem of the progressive forces is the attention deficit disorder. We have to work together with the effort that our comrades are doing here in order to create a network aware of the dangers in the conjunction. And we have to fight together in order to create another balance of power. Thank you very much.
But so we're kind of going a little short on some of the presentations, and we did a big thing on agriculture.